Prime Minister Narendra Modi turns 71 today. Today, as in this Friday, when I record this edition of this week's National Interest on camera. He turned 71 and there were mega celebrations, which are a big, bit of a surprise given that it was the 71st. Of course, India got a big gift from him by way of more than 2 crore vaccinations in a day. Fantastic. You have to say thank you for that and well done. Congratulations. But there was a lot of discussion over why did the BJP and the government make such a big deal of the 71st birthday. Now you can understand the 50th, 60th, 75th, Golden Jubilee, Diamond Jubilee, etc., etc. But even the 70th, and 70th was last year, that wasn't made such a big deal of. So who makes such a big deal of the 71st and why? So there are many theories in this city. This is a city of gyanis, so they all throw theories, or as my friend Gopi Malewal in Hong Kong says, this is a city inhabited by the media gyani complex. So in the media gyani complex, there is a lot of talk as to why such a big deal of the 71st. And the speculation then ranges from a straightforward need for better headlines, and India has been through a very tough time, and Modi government's been through a very tough time. Ratings have been down lately, particularly as shown in the last India Today Mood of the Nation poll. He's still way ahead of everybody, but not where he was 6 months prior to that. Also, that India has weathered a really, really crippling wave of COVID. Economy has been down. There are job losses, income losses. So maybe create a mood of positivity now. This is an opportunity for a couple of weeks, and then take that positivity or that positive wave forward into the election season, because key states are coming up for elections just as the winter is about to end. Now, this is not a government that you know very much about. The fact is that all of us who think we are gyanis in Delhi and who do political punditry, but even the pundits of punditry, even the Shankaracharyas of political punditry in Delhi have very little idea what's going on with Modi government and the BJP, because they've managed to keep everything secret till the last moment, everything close to their chest till the last moment. See, nobody knew the names of Manohar Lal Khattar and Raghubar Das before they became chief ministers of Haryana and Jharkhand, respectively. Who had imagined? Now, all of us had some inkling, we could say, that Vijay Rupani was on his way out. But who had imagined that his successor will be Bhupendra Patel? Again, we can say, okay, we had an idea, it will be a Patidar. But Bhupendra Patel was not among the 5 Patidar names that were being tossed around for several days by everybody. So everybody was proven wrong. So when you work in that environment, you can be forgiven for not knowing, but you should also have the humility to accept that I don't know. Because what happens is that when there is secrecy and the government runs in such secrecy that nobody actually knows, this then leaves the market open for the rumor bazaar, and rumors are spreading all the time, whispers, etc., etc. People talk. This is a subterranean world in itself. So in this rumor bazaar, there are quote-unquote expert theories, inside stories, and educated guesswork. Now, so you hear a lot of stuff in that subterranean rumor bazaar. But there is one question that you never hear. And that question is, after Modi, who? Now, isn't that an interesting question? Now, let's go back to India's own political history. So look at the rear view mirror and look right back at 1947. Narendra Modi, interestingly, it's one of those interesting facts about Indian politics, it's a pure coincidence, will be only the second prime minister in India's history to enter into his 70s while being prime minister, in his prime ministership. Or even more so, if you qualify it as in the second term of his prime ministership. Second, so he'll be the second after Nehru. But when Nehru entered his 70s, when Nehru turned 71, as Modi has done now, in 1960, there was already a lot of clamor in Delhi about after Nehru, who. Now, of course, at that point, nobody doubted that Congress will come back to power. In 1962, when the elections were scheduled at that point, because Indian politics was then a one horse race and Congress was a one horse race. So there was no doubt that the Congress will come to power, but there were questions about who will succeed Nehru. There is no such question about Narendra Modi now. Even though, while if you were a betting man and somebody put a gun on your head and said you have to take a bet, buy futures on 2024 elections on who will win, then chances are that irrespective of your voting preferences, particularly if you have the non-partisanship when your money is involved, particularly to give up your voting preferences for now and take a bet, what will you bet on? You will bet on the BJP getting another term under Narendra Modi in 2024. As of today, of course, there's a lot of time between now and 2024. Now, in that situation, you can understand nobody wants to say after Modi who. And until a credible challenger emerges from any of the other parties who looks like with an outside chance of beating a Modi-led BJP in 2024, this debate or this discussion has to be confined to choices within the BJP. When you see that, then you can see why this question is never asked, because this question doesn't arise. Because Narendra Modi is the only one who can take BJP to victory, because BJP has its base vote, but similarly Congress has its base vote. In India, you win. In any democracy, you win when you can get many more votes beyond your base votes. So you conserve your base and get a critical mass of other votes who are sort of middle of the road or people who keep their options open. Narendra Modi, his contribution to the BJP's victory is that he's taken the BJP to that base plus 15% level. And that's how the BJP gets a majority. And today it looks like there is no other leader who can do it. Now, there are similarity and differences, say between the Nehru situation in 1960-61 and between the Modi situation right now. After Nehru who? But nobody asks after Modi who. And these are quite easy to explain, because first of all, similarities. The question then was not who from any other party. It was about who from the Congress party. So it's a similar situation here. That's why there is no discussion, no debate, not even whispers on who after Modi. Until Modi wants to rule it, the BJP, he can rule the BJP. Nobody can shake him in the BJP. But what happens if there is a BJP government after Modi? And can you conceive of a BJP government or a BJP after Modi? So once again, we don't know the future. We are not clairvoyants, but we know some facts. And one of the facts we know is that Narendra Modi himself has imposed an age limit of 75 on his party people holding public office. And that has so far been implemented strictly in every case. Similarly, Mohan Bhagwat has imposed the same age limit of 75 for holding any office for people in the RSS. In that situation, you would think that 75, that is when even if Modi wins his third term, in 2024, he'll turn 75 4 years from now, which is 2025. That is within just over 1 year of his third term. What will happen then when he turns 75? No, there can always be a Modi exception. So don't count him out, and nobody is counting him out. But these are possibilities that you have to look at. Now, we can see why nobody in the BJP is keen to talk about it. Because political parties now, not just the BJP, all political parties, I would say, are now becoming cults around a personality or around a dynasty. That is true of all parties. At the same time, why do people come into politics? People don't come into politics to do philanthropy. People come into politics for power because they have ambition. So I always like to quote Om Prakash Chatala, the former Haryana chief minister, who's seen much in life, including jail, who once said famously that hum jab rajneeti mein aate hain to hum dharm karam karne ya teerth yatra karne nahi aate. When we come to politics, we don't come for piety or we don't come on a pilgrimage. We come for power. Hum satta ke liye aate hain. We come for power. So once people are in politics, you cannot fault them or you cannot judge them for also thinking about their future in power. Mera kya hoga as time goes ahead? So I'm sure people in the BJP also are thinking. Now, once again, we are not astrologers. We cannot read the future. We interpret politics by seeing evidence, seeing visible evidence, and showing it to you. So what is the evidence that we see right now? Now survey the A team of the BJP under Narendra Modi, and we know who belongs where. We know where Rajnath Singh is, we know where Amit Shah is, we know where JP Nadda is, etc., etc. We know all of them. And now that is the easy part of looking at the BJP. The other thing that we can see on the ground and which can we can show you is that the RSS today is at its weakest ever with the BJP in power in Delhi. Because this BJP does not need the RSS. This RSS needs Narendra Modi and the BJP because he gets the votes. It's not the RSS. RSS may organize the booths and do ground level campaigning and organizing, but they cannot get the votes. They cannot get the votes beyond their base of about 20%. But Narendra Modi takes the 20% to 35% plus, and that is the majority in India in the first past the post system. So the RSS is at its weakest in the sense that it no longer has a veto on who will get the key jobs in the government. That is now up to Narendra Modi and Amit Shah. Now that said, let's take a close look at some events that took place last week. So just in the 48 hours that Modi and Amit Shah were turning Gujarat inside out, when they were bringing about such a big change in Gujarat, who stole the headlines? Headlines were stolen by Yogi Adityanath in Uttar Pradesh. And what did he do? He made that speech, that famous or infamous speech, with the word Abbajan used three times, if not four times. In fact, you can check out that entire speech as the print uncut on our YouTube page. Now, that speech for a moment might have looked like Yogi Adityanath's launch of his election campaign. It also sort of set the direction of where his campaign will go. It will be a divisive campaign, and he's not afraid. He's not shy of being divisive because he knows where his voters are and he appeals only to his base. Now, names bigger than Yogi Adityanath might have said things more risque than this Abbajan reference. So let's leave it there. Let's not delve too much into it, and too much has been written about it or said about this already. Ask yourselves one question. Which chief minister in India spends more than everybody else on his own publicity? Now you might say UP is the biggest state, so you will expect the UP chief minister to do so. But you can add Arvind Kejriwal, Mamata Banerjee, Uddhav Thackeray, right? And maybe any other chief minister that you want to add, and Yogi Adityanath would still beat them 3-1. So that is the level that he's building his own image and his own personality cult. In fact, he's the only other leader in the BJP today who's daring to build his own personality cult. And that's a very important political pointer that we cannot miss. Now look at the way, if you live in Delhi or if you visit Delhi, see how Yogi has plastered all of Delhi's wanted bus shelters. Delhi's bus shelters, as in any metropolitan city, bus shelters are a wanted site for advertising. See how he has plastered Delhi's bus shelters with portraits of himself with Prime Minister Narendra Modi. So he's somebody who's promoting himself with pictures of Narendra Modi in the capital city. Not just in bus shelters. I see these hoardings come up in parts of Latyens Delhi, also in the diplomatic enclave. I spotted one right next to the Leela Hotel in Delhi in diplomatic enclave. So these are being put up at crucial places. You might say this is perfectly legitimate and necessary, money well spent, because a lot of people from UP, particularly from Ghaziabad, Noida, etc., come to Delhi to work here. So these are commuters from UP and voters in UP. So why shouldn't he reach out to them through his own advertising in Delhi? But the fact is, so do a lot of commuters come from Haryana. Would you ever imagine Manohar Lal Khattar putting up hoardings of his own to build his own cult in Delhi, and also hoardings of his own sharing space with the Prime Minister in Delhi? You can imagine no such thing. Now, all of us in the commentariat, on the left, right, and the center, and the unhyphenated ones like us at the print, there is one thing we all agree on, and that one thing is that BJP now is as much of a high command run party as the Congress party was at Indira Gandhi's peak, if not even more so. Everything this high command wants to do, they can do anywhere. They can appoint anybody as chief minister. They can remove anybody as chief minister. They can bring anybody into the cabinet. They can drop anybody from the cabinet. Nothing happens. But see what happened to A.K. Sharma. A.K. Sharma is a former civil servant, a former top civil servant, very close to the Prime Minister, a confidant, a trusted officer of the Prime Minister's. Prime Minister sent him specially, the High Command sent him specially to Uttar Pradesh with some purpose, with some mission in mind. But what's happened with him? Since he's gone there, he's cooling his heels. He never got a ministry. Initially, speculation was he'll become deputy chief minister and UP government is not running well. And also that it's a High Command that's trying to sort of assert its preeminence over this state government as well. But that didn't happen. He's right now just floating around and he's been given the consolation prize of being a vice president of the BJP in the state. A vice president, not the vice president. And is it a consolation prize? You decide, because he's one of the 17 vice president. Actually, the 17th rubbing shoulders with 16 others. Beyond that, he's been given nothing. He's spending his time meeting intellectuals and things like that. No other chief minister of the BJP would have dared to do this. If you sat in front of Shivraj Singh Chauhan, who's a fourth term chief minister in Madhya Pradesh, and suggested something like this, he'll kick you out of the room and maybe spray Ganga Jal where you were sitting to decontaminate the place, because how could you utter such impure and dangerous thoughts in that place? But Yogi Adityanath has been able to do that. In Gujarat, Narendra Modi and Amit Shah, that is the BJP High Command, could change the entire cabinet, lock, stock and chief minister, everybody, right? Everybody, just like that, and that too secretly without anybody knowing. Can they make two changes in the UP cabinet? In UP, the cabinet is run by, cabinet is chosen by Yogi Adityanath, portfolios are chosen by him, and more importantly, all the powers rest with him. So these ministers have almost no powers. You talk to any of his ministers and they will tell you that. So what's happened is that Narendra Modi invented the Gujarat model. That Gujarat model basically was a strong chief minister, like a one-man rule, with some trusted political commissars around him, and then trusted, efficient civil servants, or bureaucrats as they are called, though I prefer not to call them bureaucrats or babus, civil servants, and through them run the state government. That worked beautifully for him. He won three successive elections with that. So he has imported that model or transported that model to Delhi, and that's how central government is also being run. What's happening in Uttar Pradesh is that Uttar Pradesh is also running on the Gujarat model, but at this point it is not Mr. Modi's Gujarat model, it is Yogi Adityanath's Gujarat model. So he also has a cabinet of ministers with no power, very highly empowered civil servants who he handpicks and who he has chosen, and he gets his stuff done through them, and he controls all the power in the state. But as I said earlier, this is not a state where the Gujarat model is controlled by the original founders of the Gujarat model, who now constitute the BJP's High Command. And Yogi's got the smarts. Yogi's not naive. So even when he made that Abba Jan speech, he did so with Narendra Modi's much larger than life portrait playing in the background constantly. So he can say all these things. He made several references to Maniye Pradhan Mantri Narendra Modi ji and very fawning references. So he's quite clever. He can do those things. At the same time, when it comes to headline hunting, he can beat anybody in the BJP, including, if I may say so, Tejasvi Surya. Because he can say things that others would be shy of saying, particularly when the cameras are there. Now, for removal of ambiguity, let me underline the fact that nobody is going to challenge Narendra Modi. He can rule the BJP for as long as he wishes, which will be for as long as he's the one getting the votes for the BJP. So he's not going to be challenged. Within the BJP, however, another power center is now rising, and that's a change. At 49, Yogi Adityanath is among our youngest senior politicians in the country. In fact, he's younger than Arvind Kejriwal, considerably younger than Rahul Gandhi, and younger than all the others in the BJP. So he's just 49. He's got a lot of time to go and a lot of energy. Like Narendra Modi, he does not have a family, so he has no encumbrances there. He's not from the RSS, but at the same time, he now enjoys a wide appeal in the BJP RSS's base. Now, base is very important. So it's not as if he's going to challenge Narendra Modi within that base, But after Narendra Modi, he is the person who's most popular in that base, and that is what also came out in the latest India Today Mood of the Nation poll results, which showed that after Narendra Modi, he is the most preferred candidate for Prime Minister of India among the BJP's voters. Now, Prime Minister Modi is way ahead of him, but yet he is the number two ahead of all other BJP leaders, which is a very important factor. That's the reason I say, for all these reasons, that a new power center is now rising in the BJP, because the BJP base adores him more than anybody other than Modi, even though he himself is originally not from the RSS. And he's not a satrap who's waning like Yediyurappa. He's a satrap who's rising. And that's why his presence in the BJP has now become larger than life, whether you like him or not. So Yogi is no pushover. In fact, he's got his high command in a tough situation. If he doesn't win next year, it will set back the party's prospects in 2024. If he wins, it will be seen as his win as much as the high command's, because he'll be his own star campaigner. And that will have consequences for the BJP going ahead.